What's this button do?
You are now entering the green world.
Last week, communities around the world took part in the first annual Reclaim the Economy Week, calling on grassroots action to develop alternatives to existing economic systems that prioritize growth over people and the planet. I spoke to environmental activist and director of the Wellbeing Economy Alliance Aotearoa, Gareth Hughes, about the meaning of reclaiming the economy and the context behind this movement. First off, can you start by explaining the driving ethos behind reclaiming the economy and why this is especially relevant today or in modern times?
Well, I often point to a quote by the Cambridge economist Ha-Jun Cheng, who says the economy is too important to leave to the economist. And basically, we as a species, as New Zealanders, as global citizens, have to reclaim the economy because our currently unjust, unsustainable pathway is leading to huge inequality, climate collapse, a whole bunch of problems now converging what's being called the polycrisis. So for too long, the rules of the global economy have been written by and for the few, the elite. We timed the Reclaim the Economy Week globally to align with what was happening with Davos, where I think it was 1,000 private business jets brought billionaires and multinationals to that country to help write the global rules. We need to reclaim the economy for all citizens, for future generations, and the natural world.
I was wondering if you could dive in a little bit more, if you could explain kind of how inequality and environmental issues especially intersect and why it's so important to be aware about who is most benefited and who is most disadvantaged by this.
Yeah, well, take those, you know, hundreds if not 1,000 private jets that flew into Davos for the World Economic Forum. You know, the emissions of the billionaire owners are orders of magnitude higher than, say, someone in New Zealand. But we also need to remember we're some of the highest per person emitters in the world, little old New Zealand, and there are, you know, billions of people who will never expect to hop on an aeroplane in their entire lifetimes in the developing world. So this vast inequality we see, and when we look at the rate of change, we see those with money are growing it faster than those without. In fact, billionaires grew their wealth 3 times faster last year than the year before. You know, if we looked at how wealth in New Zealand was split up, maybe if we imagined 10 plates of food for a dinner party with 10 diners, one diner would have 5 plates of food for him. The middle would have one plate each, or 4 people would have one plate, but the other 5 at the end of the table would have to share a single plate of food. That's how we split wealth in New Zealand, and across the world it's even more unequal. So that means we've got different amounts of environmental footprints, our impact on the natural world. So, you know, the economy is thickly entwined with the environment, and part of the problem is that, you know, take a barrel of oil. If we put a price on that of, say, $65 a barrel of Brent crude, the real cost of that barrel of oil, which is being burnt in cars or aeroplanes, is probably, and has been estimated, at about $1,000, the impact on the climate, the true social and environmental cost. So the way we're currently measuring things, the way we're applying value to things, is totally out of whack with a climate-safe future where biodiversity is actually rewilding, regenerating, coming back.
While we're talking about New Zealand, do you have any examples of how inequality, or especially economic inequality, is embedded into or reflected by our environmental policy in Aotearoa?
Well, it's a really good question, and there needs to be a lot more work finding that link. But what we know is, take my home region of Gisborne, pretty economically deprived. It's been struggling for jobs for many years. I remember as a kid in the 80s growing up, and pine forestry was going to be the region's saviour. What we see today, though, is all the, after the extreme weather events, pine washing up, taking out bridges, literally killing people, unfortunately. So what we find is yesterday's solution has become today's problem. And what we find in my home region is that young people don't particularly want to work in this dangerous sector, but because of unequal wages, because of low incomes, they're in many cases forced into something which is bad for the environment and personally dangerous for themselves. So we need to find that link. How do we actually grow income? How do we support families in ways that restore the natural world? So it can be be a positive as well. And when I look at proposals such as recloaking Papatuanuku, which is, rather than pine forest, permanent native forest, we can actually reduce emissions much cheaper than the government's plan to potentially purchase credits offshore, grow really good jobs. Other ideas like rewiring Aotearoa to electrify our grid so people are producing their own cheap power on their own roofs. You know, we could be saving $90 billion as a country by 2040, but again, growing really good jobs for Kiwis. So there is a connection between the economy and equality in the environment, but it doesn't have to be negative. There's plenty of really positive alternatives out there we should be embracing as a country.
This collective is largely centred on community action, but do you have any hopes or expectations for political leaders, maybe particularly in New Zealand, but worldwide, to be responding to the issues that are being called out here?
Well, this is the great challenge of our age, the polycrisis. How do we deal with biodiversity collapse, climate change? As a proud New Zealander, you know, I look back at our history of universal suffrage, nuclear-free. We've been world leaders in the past and inspired the world, and I believe we can do that again. I think we're seeing pockets of it already when we look at, say, legal personhood for natural features like Te Uruwera Forest, again from the region where I'm from, the Whanganui River. You know, these are aspiring other countries around the world. This is sort of the Wellbeing Economy Alliance's vision for Aotearoa, that we're leading the path towards a new economy. Many of the problems we see, anxiety, be it poverty, homelessness, inequality, our high emissions, addiction to oil, you know, they're not accidents, they're not forces of nature, they're the result of decisions that have been made, they're a result of design. But the optimistic side of that is the system that was designed can be redesigned. And that's the work we're doing as part of a global organisation with our partners Earth for All. And I think perhaps that was the major message of the Reclaim the Economy Week. We can reclaim the economy, we can redesign it. So it's delivering good outcomes for nature and people by default.
Would you say, in your view, that it's necessary for participants to hold or develop a radical perspective on the economy and on ecological well-being in order to drive meaningful change on this topic?
Well, I'm not sure about radical, because the things I'm talking about, like a fairer, more just, humane society where nature, you know, isn't driving species extinct, I don't think that's particularly radical. I think that's pretty reasonable. In fact, that's kind of conservative, trying to protect the natural world. And actually, when you look at the evidence, this is what science, the insurance industry, many leading businesses are doing already. So for me, it's a transition that has to happen. We kind of installed our last major economic change in the 1980s and early 1990s. It's just not dealing with our modern problems like climate change, extreme weather. People are going to be going without insurance as a result of that. It's already killing people and having a huge economic impact. We need to modernise our economic system so it can deal with these modern challenges. For me, I think this is one of the most exciting projects and important missions facing us. But again, we're part of a global movement working with global experts, economists, world leaders in multiple countries around the world. And here in Aotearoa, I think we've got a fantastic foundation to stand on, grounded in Indigenous wisdom. When we talk about trying to build a new economy that's more caring, that thinks long-term, that's more connected to nature, that's solving these grand challenges, these aren't new ideas here in Aotearoa. They're grounded in Māori wisdom. So respecting te tiriti, that role in society, I think, is a great place to build upon.
Is there anything, any kind of actions that listeners could maybe take away that would help promote this community resilience on the economic or climate front that would support the mission that you're promoting here?
Yeah, I think there's two things. One's local, one's global. This week, as part of the Reclaim the Economy Week, we launched a global petition with five asks for world leaders. One of them is to avoid extractivism, to foster citizens and communities' participation to create meaningful goals to drive economic decision-making. So please go to the Reclaim the Economy Week website, sign the petition. Thousands of people around the globe are doing that. Here in Aotearoa, we all, Aotearoa, we're a think and do tank. We're building a movement for a reshaped economy. So it's an invitation to join our network. We've got everything from projects on the ground through to a book club through to regular activities that people can be involved with. Ultimately, we're trying to build a movement to motivate a new economic system. And as someone who's worked on everything from child poverty to climate change to conservation across my career, these aren't things just in a silo. They're economic issues. If we can get the economic signals and system working right, we'll be able to tackle those big challenges like climate change or child poverty.
That was Wellbeing Economy Alliance Aotearoa's Gareth Hughes talking about the Reclaim the Economy movement.
That was The Green World.